There'll be another screening with Josh and Tim tomorrow evening, Thursday at 6 p.m. That's all we got time for. We got to run. This is Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, Paul Roland. Stay tuned for Joanne Hardesty with more talk radio on political perspectives coming right up. Thanks, Liam, for engineering, and stay tuned.
White Man Said Walk. The Teresa Rayford Disorderly Conduct Trial Show airs Wednesday, May 18th, 7 to 8 p.m. Here's Prosecutor Lowe trying to question Ms. Rayford.
It's probably more than fair to say that you are very upset by the fact that you were arrested, is that correct?
I'm not upset by the fact that I'm arrested. I'm a protester, so a lot of the reason that we protest is to communicate the inequities about what's happening. And the fact that I was arrested gives us that opportunity. Thank you.
That's White Man Said Walk, this Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio station.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock, and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. And here's what we have coming up for you this morning on KBOO. First, on Political Perspectives, Joanne Hardesty hosts a look at the Oregon primary with a focus on the local races. She will invite your calls. Stay tuned for that. At 10 o'clock, Eric Cascadia is off today. We'll hear Flashpoints featuring an encore broadcast with investigative economist James Henry, looking at how various dictators, drug traffickers, and corporate leaders stole $12 trillion from the world's poorest countries and held it offshore. At 11 o'clock on The Food Show, host Chris Siegel speaks with Anna Thomas, author of the Vegetarian Epicure cookbooks, about her new book, Vegan, Vegetarian, Omnivore. Chris also interviews Lynn Curry, Eastern Oregon resident and author of the book, Pure Beef. And thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support during our spring membership drive. You were great in your support, and you are key to keeping KBOO strong. Thanks a lot for that. And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Community College, inviting the public to meet finalists for the next PCC president. Forums held May 23rd through the 27th at 4 campus locations. More online at pcc.edu/president-search. And stay tuned for Joanne Hardesty hosting a little talk call-in show.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to a special edition of Political Perspectives. We had an election yesterday. There were winners and losers all across our state, and I'm here to spend the next hour talking to you about some of the outcomes of the local races in the Portland metropolitan area. And so, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Ted Wheeler won the race to be Portland's next mayor, won it straight out with about 58% of the vote. I think what was really surprising about that race, and so let me say Ted Wheeler came in first with 58% of the vote. Jules Bailey came in second with 16.4% of the vote. And Sarah Anarone came in third with 10.7% of the vote. And so there won't be a runoff. Ted Wheeler has the rest of this year to put his transition team in place and to get prepared to serve as the next mayor for the city of Portland. Amanda Fritz easily won re-election by about 70% of the vote, and her next closest competitor was Ann Sanderson, who came in with 10.6% of the vote. I think one surprise was a nail biter around the Portland gas tax last evening. The gas tax passed by a vote of 51.8%. of the public. What surprised you most about last night's election? Share your perspective. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. If I sound like I'm coming from a fog, it's because my nose is all stopped up and I'm just having that kind of morning. But I'm feeling great. And I'm thrilled with some of the election results. Steve Novak will be headed to a runoff election with Stuart Emmons in the November general election cycle. Steve Novak was only able to get 43% of the vote. And so he has been pushed into a runoff. And we will know the result of that in November, after the November general election. Once again, Mount Hood Community College bond measure failed by a vote of 56.1 opposed to 43.9 in favor. Devastating loss for Mount Hood Community College. I believe it was 75 the last time there was a ballot measure that was passed by voters to support renovations of that particular campus. Very unfortunate. In addition, Centennial School District bond measure failed as well by a vote of 55.8% to 44.2%. And I guess we'll find out whether or not they will try to rewrite that bond measure and put it on the ballot in November. For Multnomah County, there will be a runoff for Multnomah County District 1 seat. Sherrod Merriman and Eric Zimmerman will be in a runoff in November for that particular seat. And there will also be a runoff for Multnomah County Commission District 4 seat. Lori Stegman and Amanda Schroeder are in the runoff. Lori got 46.2% of the vote to Amanda's 39% of the vote. A big win for the Oregon Historic Museum bond. That measure passed overwhelmingly by a 70% margin. And so I think that there are some exciting things that are supposed to come from that bond measure. One is an African-American museum that I was told would be a part of that process. In Clackamas County, there are two races that will be going to a runoff. The Clackamas County Commission chair position between Jim Bernard and John Ludlow. They will both be headed to a runoff. Jim received 36.8% of the vote to John's 21.7% of the vote. And the other race in Clackamas County headed to a November runoff is between Tootie Smith and Ken Humberston. Tootie Smith received 46% of the vote, and Ken received 29.5% of the vote. It appears that school bond measures did really, really poorly on ballots all across Oregon yesterday. The Molalla School District bond went down to defeat by a vote of 54.9% to 45%. The Sandy gas tax also went down by a 3-to-1 margin, 71.4 no to 28.6 in favor. But the Clackamas County Emergency Radio bond did pass by an overwhelming margin of 71.1%. Oregon City Parks measure also passed, squeaked by a 50.5% margin in favor to 49.5 opposed. Also, Washington County passed the 911 bond measure by a large margin of 74.7%. One of the few school bond measures that did pass was for the Gaston School District. Their bond measure passed by a vote of 54.4 in favor and 45% opposed. What was your favorite race from last night? Are you pumped up and excited and getting prepared for the November election cycle? or are you just thoroughly depressed and ready to just go to bed and pull the covers up over your head? Give me a call. Let me know what you're thinking about this election cycle. The number to call, 503-231-8187. There was some really important legislative races that were decided last night, and so will not be headed for any kind of runoff. Oregon Senate District 21, Kathleen Taylor won by an 88.5% margin. Oregon House District 14, Julie Fahey won by a 60%, over 60% margin. Oregon House District 26, A. Richard Vile won by a 46% margin. Sherry Malmstrom won the Oregon House seat in District 27 by an 88 to 11% margin. Her closest competitor, Darren Campbell, came in at 11.3%. In Oregon House District 28, Gary Carlson came out the winner with a vote of 67% of the electorate. One of the races that I was really, really excited about was Diego Hernandez in Oregon House District 47. He stomped his nearest component by a margin of 69.2%. One of the most highly contested and watched races this election season in the Oregon House was District 43. You may remember that seat was vacated by Lou Fredericks, who ran for the Senate unopposed. That seat, Roberta Phillips Robbins and Tanya Sanchez were in a hotly contested race, and it appears that race has not actually been called yet because the margin is still pretty close. But as of 6:10 this morning, Roberta Phillip Robbins was holding on to a slim lead by a 49.3% margin, and Tanya Sanchez had a 48% margin. So I suspect that race will probably end up in a recount because right now it's really, really, really close. So fingers and toes crossed for both of those candidates. Oregon House District 51, Janelle Byron won handily with a 68.7% margin. Mark Reynolds was reelected to the Oregon House District 2 by a 76.4% margin. And so there was a lot of money measures on the ballot. Of course, we didn't talk about the statewide races. As you know, Kate Brown is the Democratic candidate for governor, and she easily won with an 84% margin. She will face Bud Pierce, who is the Republican candidate, who ironically came out with 47.7% of the vote as a first-time candidate. He's a medical doctor, and he handedly beat Alan Alley, who has ran for governor three or four times in the past on the Republican ticket. Brad Avakian walked away with the Secretary of Race race, so he has been declared the victor with 39.1% of the vote. Val Hall came in at second place with 33.8% of the vote. And on the Republican side of the ticket for Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson handily won with 77.8% of the vote. And so that was Oregon elections last night. I was not surprised. I was a little surprised at the outcome of the mayor's race. I did expect that Ted Wheeler would win the race straight out. But what I didn't expect was just how poorly Jules Bailey did in the race to be the next mayor. He came in at a mere 16.4% of the vote. And Sarah, who no one really knew before she ran, was pretty close to him at 10.7% of the vote. And so what do you think about this? Are we did we Are we ready for Ted Wheeler to take on the realm? Well, we have to be ready because he's actually the incoming mayor. We don't have a choice in that now. And if you didn't vote, too bad. You missed your opportunity. But I think Ted Wheeler will be a excellent mayor. The question will be whether or not Steve Novick makes it out of the general election. You know, when you only have two people in the race as compared to the 10 people that were in the primary, it becomes a totally different ballgame. And so what's it going to take for Stewart to create the kind of campaign and the kind of excitement to actually unseat an incumbent who is fresh off of his win on being able to sell Portland voters on passing the gas tax? There's a list of projects that are supposed to be funded by this gas tax that is supposed to raise about $68 million over the next couple of years. And so it will be incumbent upon us to make sure that that gas tax is actually fixing the most messed up roads that exist within the city of Portland, which means that East Portland should be getting an over influx of those dollars from this gas tax. So we'll have to keep our eye on that and see whether or not that gas tax is actually temporary, because, you know, temporary taxes have a way of hanging around for a long, long, long time. And so we'll see whether 4 years is really 4 years, or if that's just the beginning of a stream of money promised to do repairs that should be part of the general fund budget anyway. Do you want to join the conversation? What did you think about last night's election? Did you go to an election party last night? I personally was at Portland Public Schools school board meeting, which was a very interesting event. And so I didn't make it to any of the election parties last night. And so give me a call. Tell me what parties did you go to? Were you excited? Are you thrilled that the primaries are over? Are you now getting in your mode to prepare for the November general election? Give us a call at 503-231-8187. I think I was actually a little surprised that the gas tax passed. I realized that that was close, so it was not a runaway. It wasn't a given by any stretch of the imagination. I actually thought that that would be a little closer than it actually ultimately ended up being. And so we will see whether or not that will work as has been promised by our elected leadership. I was thrilled to see Kate Brown did so well. I didn't expect, there was no surprise there. But I was really a little surprised at how close the Secretary of State's race was for three leading Democrats. It was a pretty close race, at least between like 4 or 5 percentage points for second and third place. And so I do think that there was a lot of advertisement for that race. There was a lot of controversy around that race. There was a lot of talk about influx of money from outside of the state to influence the Secretary of State's race. And so I know that people had some major concerns about whether or not that late influx of money from outside of Oregon was going to have any impact at all. And so if you'd like to join the conversation or tell me what you think about the outcome of Oregon's elections, the number to call is 503-231-8187. I think we may have a caller. I think maybe. Maybe in a minute we'll go back to the phone line. I was actually I'm excited about the potential for what happens with new leadership at the Portland City Council. Knowing Amanda Fritz is going to be back to serve another term, knowing we have a new mayor, and knowing that we have a city council that feels kind of disconnected from actually participating and developing a budget that seems to make sense for the folks in the city of Portland. So we're going to go to the phone line. Good morning, George. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to give a comment on the Wheeler event last night. And let me say that I wish Ted Wheeler the best, that Portland needs a competent and engaged mayor.
True.
That said, it was the best collection of Republicans I think you could find in Portland. It was a very straight-laced crowd of people, and I think that reflects the fact that he raised some $600,000. Mm. A lot of the folks who gave that money were probably in the room. Mm. They were nice folks, but boy, as a KBOO listener and member and all the rest, I felt a bit out of place.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think you raise a really good point. Raising $600,000 is no easy feat for any candidate. And the people who have that kind of money aren't necessarily people who are people who may think differently about the priorities in the city of Portland. I'll say it that way. So it just felt kind of weird, huh?
No, not weird. I mean, just it was a straight-laced, very, very white, very, you know, it was still a Portland crowd. But
right.
That said, it was a country clubbish Portland crowd.
Mm.
And, you know, that's fine. Those folks live here, too. But I think we're going to have to keep our eye on Mr. Wheeler.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think you're absolutely right. I think no matter who becomes the next mayor, we will have to keep our eye on him. Now that we know it's Ted Wheeler, we've got a lot of time to help shape him before he actually takes that position.
I'll just say there's no doubt he's a smart cookie, but Portland is changing, and he might prove a catalyst for that change, and I don't know if that's all to the good.
Well, I guess we will find out, huh? We'll be living through it, so we will certainly find out. But I like the job. I think he did an excellent job at the county. I think he brought a lot of credibility back to the county, and I hope he does the same thing in the position of mayor at the city of Portland.
I enjoy your show, Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Have a
Bye.
Great day. Good morning, Jeremy. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So two elections that I wanted to comment on, and also the third point was about voter registration.
Ah, yes.
Probably ought to bring that up first. My daughter, who's in her mid-20s, went to vote, and she opened her ballot up last Friday, and somehow, mysteriously, her voter registration had changed from Democrat to Independent without her knowledge.
Huh.
Yeah, Clackamas County. So she went down there on Monday, and well, you can't. She says, I've never been registered as an Independent. So I'm just wondering if there are any other 20-something-year-olds that this has happened to. She claims that there's a few of her other friends the same thing happened to them. So what's up with that?
Well, that certainly sounds like there should be a formal complaint made to the Clackamas County Elections Office, and some investigation should happen. Yeah, because it doesn't happen by osmosis.
That's true. That's true. It's very, very fishy. So anyway, two big elections. Bernie Sanders taking Oregon. My daughter and I went to his rally in Salem last week. We loved it. It was a great rally. Very happy that Bernie took Oregon. And then the other, well, we'll go ahead and let you comment on it.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And then the other other big victory is the good voters of Hood River County telling Nestle Corporation to take a hike.
Now, that was a wonderful victory, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I'm third generation native Oregonian. We are so proud of those folks in Hood River County. Want to give a shout out to them.
Yes.
Way to go. Way to protect our resources, and hopefully this will send a message throughout the entire state and send it to these corporations. They need to go elsewhere to exploit our resources.
Yes, it is wonderful when the little guys win. And what I loved, I heard a little bit earlier at the previous program, they were talking about that the community came together, so there was no conservative, liberal community. There was, we're going to protect our water, and that's what it takes.
Well, what was mind-boggling, they had planned on pumping 1 million gallons of water, at least that's what I'd heard, a day bottling a million gallons of water a day, and they would have put 100 semi trucks on I-84 on a daily basis had they opened that plant.
Oh, that's insanity. I don't know how anybody thought that would have worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I love KBOO. Between KBOO and Southern Oregon Public Radio, I always tell people you got to listen to KBOO if you're in the Portland area. It's the best radio station up north.
So. Very cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate the love. Have a great day.
Take care.
You too. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Rebel. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
I missed the tail end of who won. Did any grassroots candidates win?
Grassroots, no.
Okay, so basically we have the same corrupt leaders that are going back into office that we've had all this time, right?
Well, we have, pretty much.
Okay, so once again, we see how the voting system is rigged. It's rigged towards the upper billionaire class who can raise hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. The people do not have a voice. I'd like to highly encourage anybody who missed it to listen to News In Depth last night that was on KBOO. You can go to kboo.fm and go look at the in-depth archive and listen to that. There was a really great 15-minute discussion about our election system and how corrupt it is, how the two parties just collaborate together to create a gridlock on all the issues, that having more than two parties would keep that from happening because, if the two parties just make an agreement and divide up the issues, basically, and just gridlock them, nothing ever gets done. Whereas if you have several parties and one of the parties isn't agreeing or two of the parties are collaborating together, it's really hard for them to gain majority with all the other parties representing all the different people, which we do not have in our government. We do not have a representative government. We have a billionaire government.
So, Rebel, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Your voice is kind of fading out. One of the things I want to say, I think that we toss around the word like corruption a lot. And I think I agree with you that we have a two-party system primarily. I agree with you that the two-party system primarily doesn't work for working people. However, we've had third parties forever. And we've never been able to get a third party enough bodies to have it actually really make a difference in who gets elected. I agree with you also that people with money tend to give money to candidates that look like them and share their values. And so I guess my question to you, we've been doing the same system over and over and over again for quite some time. What's the solution?
Well, the solution was actually detailed in the News In Depth on KBOO yesterday. So,
the third party solution, or four party solution?
It's more than just third party. There's actually governments like New Zealand, as detailed in the show, that already have these systems in place.
Right.
These aren't new untested systems. Some of these systems are already in use in other countries.
But I know some of those systems we've been talking about forever, like whether it's voting for your top three candidates, right? What is that called? Fusion voting. There are just so many different ways that we've been talking about it for a while, but we haven't actually done much to change how voting happens. And other than to try to prevent as many people as possible from voting, we haven't done much to change how voting happens in the U.S.
Absolutely. And one of the systems that was talked about in News In Depth that I really liked was basically that you could vote for a candidate, like we'd have the same elections that we currently have. We'd vote senators in, et cetera. But you would also get a party vote. You get a person vote and a party vote. And so the party vote, you could, for instance, vote for Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter could be a party, for instance. And then if enough people get behind, you know, if enough people vote for that party, or actually not if enough, there's proportional representation on that party vote. So if Black Lives Matter, if 30% of the people nationwide voted for the Black Lives Matter party, they would get 30% representation. So there's a lot of ways we can handle this. And that system is actually an add-on, not a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Add on the party vote and allow people, you know, there's the Green Party. We already have all these parties out there.
Yes.
They would actually get representation. We would actually have somebody on a dissenting voice for those communities on the Senate floor saying, hey, this is our issue. You better hear us. We don't have that right now. We have billionaires trying to discuss with each other how to keep us down and keep us out of power and keep our voices silent. So that's pretty much my point on the whole election. It's just a fraud. It's just a show for them to convince us to make us think that we're free and make us think that we have a voice. And in all reality, we actually don't.
Thank you very much, Rebel. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Christopher. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to describe my experience also. I'm 48, not in my 20s, but I got a notification that I was no longer registered for some mysterious reason. So I went down to, I'm not registered as for any political party.
Right.
So I was going to take the opportunity to change it to a Democrat so I could vote for Mr. Sanders, because he's the only viable candidate, my personal opinion, out of any of them. But I inquired as to why this had happened. It was some, you know, the person at the desk had no idea.
What county are you in?
Multnomah.
Ah, Multnomah.
Yeah. And I thought it was very strange, and I had heard of other sort of things happening, and that also lends a little more credence to the gentleman who also called. And I believe that we are also living in more of an illusion of a democracy than an actual democracy. And I thank you for your time and your effort. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. I have to say I'm a little troubled by hearing this in Clackamas County and again in Multnomah County. And so, if I were you, I would file a formal complaint with the Multnomah County Elections Office.
Yes, and thank you for that suggestion. I'm actually going to do that. I wasn't going to do anything until you suggested it, so I appreciate that.
I think that's absolutely necessary to get to the bottom of that because, you know, regardless of what party you're in, I believe in one person, one vote, and I don't want anybody messing with the voting machines.
Yeah, it's been really messed with very significantly, unfortunately.
Well, that's scary. I mean, and we better fix it now because November, if you think it's been crazy in the primary, hold on to your hat. It's about to get really crazy.
One thing that gives me a little bit of optimism, I'm the eternal optimist.
Oh, thank you. Please.
Throughout history, we have basically been able to put down those who wish to oppress us in whatever form they come in. So far, anyway. And, I mean, my grandfathers, both of them fought in World War II, and it seems kind of odd that as soon as they they're past that, the sort of same thing happens globally.
Yes,
many different countries. However, there's plenty of other countries such as Iceland, Denmark, Germany just passed some more things for like free college tuition, etc. And that's also very exciting to me. So, it's going to kind of be an ongoing thing until the human race gets a little better at.
Well, what gives me hope are the young folks that are in school right now. They are absorbing these hard-won lessons that we have had over the years, and I think that they're going to be very well positioned to resolve some of these longstanding systemic problems if we just don't mess it up too bad before they take over.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, definitely.
Yeah.
Got some amazing kids.
We do. I mean, these kids are absolutely phenomenal. And so just wrapping them with love and making sure that they have the support so they can take over. And again, that we don't destroy it so horribly that it takes them a generation to make it better.
Yeah, well, there's several things that are on the tipping point, like, you know, solar energy in the 80s. I was thinking all we need to do is have better, you know, storage devices for energy. And we're doing that. And people like the Koch brothers are... hard as they might try, they're not going to be able to stop it. It's going to happen. So that's pretty awesome stuff.
I love your optimism, and I thank you for sharing it. I needed some optimism this morning. Thank you very much. Have a great day. We're going to go back to the phone line. Paul. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share that I'm extremely saddened by the Mount Hood Community College bond going down.
Me
that
too.
Just blew me away.
Why do you think that was?
I really honestly don't know, but that needs to be evaluated and found out. One of the things that concerned me about it was I didn't know how much money was being put into security and what exactly what that entailed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been one of the things. But my wife and I just got done reading the PTA scholarships for David Douglas High School.
Right.
And in those scholarships, they do an essay. And one of these kids pointed out that they have earned 23 college credits by the end of their senior year.
Right.
By attending Mount Hood Community College in a dual enrollment type of thing. Think of it right now. How much that's going to save that family.
That's right.
And will allow that kid to move on way more quicker. Mount Hood Community College rocks. I hope they do a revaluation and they bring that bond issue out really quick. I've been up on campus and it really needs some TLC.
Yes.
The people up there rock.
You're absolutely right. It is one of the best college campuses in the area. And in fact, I'm really surprised when I was researching that it's been 76 was the last time there was a bond measure passed.
That's what I understand. Things wear out.
Yes.
And times change. Look at all the electronics and things that need to be rewired and, updated. You need to freshen up that campus, and it deserves it. It doesn't owe us a nickel. You know, we owe it to them to do this.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your input, and I couldn't agree with you more. I was really disappointed to see that.
Could I say one more thing?
Sure,
please. In the most recent issue of Time Magazine, that's May 23rd, there's an article in there that the baby boomers are disengaging from social activism. And I just want to say, baby boomers, don't do that. Now's the time to get energized, take a break, get energized, and get back into the fray, because our country needs us, our city needs us, our neighborhoods needs us.
You are absolutely right. I so agree with you. I mean, we have to we have to recover, right? We have to recover from elections, from disappointments, et cetera. But at the end of the day, we have to get back into the game because our kids and our grandkids' future depends on us being actively engaged.
Keep up the good work. Thank you much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You do the same. Bye.
503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. Good morning, Sunny. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. I didn't confuse you being here on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday, did I?
No. No, but I'm always confused. Therefore, I enjoy life a little bit more. It adds a little bit more flavor to have some confusion. Not really. Actually, I'm calling to clarify some confusion on some things that I think that you can do the job. But number one, I'd like to see you run again. And I think in time we'll probably see you as the mayor of Portland ourselves. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I am better in preparing other people to run and serve in public office now As you well know, Sonny, I'm way too opinionated to be mayor.
Well, you know, you're a builder, building, and, you know, we're not far from the solutions. We're not, but that's we're treading true. On the tail of the tiger right now. And number one, I wish I could recall, I'm kind of ill right now, so it's hard for me to recall, what is the amount of the gas tax for the roads? What came through? How much per gallon?
I think it's a 2-cent tax that creates a pool of $86 million bucks.
Okay. And recently TriMet, or some part of Metro, I think, got a $40 million grant for transportation upgrades and stuff like that. So just think, if $40 million or the gas tax money was put towards housing, how much more housing we would see. But we're not going to get that, because whenever we talk about housing and then taxes for housing, people don't like the idea of paying for all those supposed loafers, and then they realize later on how much they wish they had paid.
Yes.
And that these people aren't loafers. Well, you know, the idea of a 1 cent per purchase transaction fee, or even 2 cents, how much money could that generate for housing?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it's easy and it's simple, and people are throwing their pennies away, so wouldn't it be interesting to see, just as an experiment, even what pennies could do? But then the other thing is, we've got King Kong, that's Trump. We've got Tyrannosaurus Rex, that's Hillary. And then we've got Sanders as kind of little Bo Peep, who's gathering his sheep. But I wonder why I should have a better idea of this process. A, if Sanders went independent, is it too late for him to go independent anyway, because all of these super delegates, which is of course the detour from democracy, are already gathered up, so many are already gathered up by Hillary. Is there any, if he goes independent at this time, does it cut him out from the delegates he already had? Is he even allowed to go independent at this time?
No.
No, it's too late in the game, right?
Yep, too late.
Too bad.
He's already declared himself a Democrat, so.
So he's got to persuade some of Hillary's people over to his side.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I mean, I'm not a Hillary fan. I'm not a Sanders fan.
No, me either.
But I got to tell you, that's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, we're going to go to the convention. Hillary's going to be crowned.
Mm-hmm.
She will be on the ballot. And people will have to decide whether or not it's so horrendously horrible to vote for Hillary or to allow Trump to ascend to the White House. And so I think we'll be faced with that relatively soon. So, of course, the summer is the conventions, and there will be a lot of grandstanding between now and then. But at the end of the day, the delegates are already confirmed. Hillary will have more than enough to be nominated, you know, and it's just going to be I think that we're just prolonging what's going to be ultimately a two-person battle. And it looks like that's going to be Trump and Clinton.
It's going to be rock'em sock'em. So what we have to do is coalesce into a strong, a peaceful solidarity.
Yes.
We can, because the last thing about it is to provoke that final upheaval, which they will meet with militarized force, because they have fast-tracked martial law with Mitch McConnell writing on that through Congress. I'm not quite sure if they got that through or not, and it looks like a long setup all the way back to just a little bit before 9/11 towards, you know, martial law. This is, seems to be some of the intention within the darker reaches of the whole structure, and so we have to stay together in peace and solidarity and support to one another, because we are not very far from the solutions.
Thank you so much, Sonny. I always appreciate your insight, and I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, what I hope is that calmer brains will prevail as we move into the general election season. It's really frightening to me to think how polarized the left already is moving into this election season. We can see the Republican Party getting in lockstep behind Donald Trump. No matter how many horribly bad things they've said about him, they're jumping in line and getting in lockstep behind him.
Yes.
And so what that says for this country, I mean, it's like we will have no standing anywhere in the world if Trump is elected. And because I am on KBOO, I need you to know that we do not promote or oppose any candidates for office, because that would be inappropriate for a community radio station.
Yes, yes, but, well, you know, shortly here we're going to have all that tremendous tree planting going on to counter the warming and the climate change. Not that it can do a whole lot, but at least we'll get more oxygen and there'll be a lot more beauty, and eventually it will still help somewhat. And then, you know, the good hearts, like the people that voted and helped us out so much out there in Hood River County and
yes.
everything like that, and the people who've called into the radio are gathering strength.
Mm-hmm.
There is targeting still going on. There's a bunch of bad jokes going on amidst the population, such as some of these, you know, voting information changes when a person's really a Democrat, but they're listed as an independent. There's far too much immaturity. We have to check that. A lot of the targeters are extremely immature, and we need to face them head on, and we need to just, we're going to stay together. We're going to stand. We're not going to fall to any provocation. We're just going to stand strong together in peace and respect for one another, respect towards all.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Sunny. You have a fabulous day.
You too. You too, Joanne. Thank you so much. Always, always.
Always.
Always. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, what's interesting is that both Grant County and Klamath County had measures on the ballot to overturn earlier rulings to prohibit marijuana businesses from operating in those counties. And both of those measures were defeated by over 50%. The one in Klamath County was defeated by a vote of 58-42%. And the one in Grant County was defeated by a vote of 53.6-46.4%. And so I guess folks who live in Grant and Klamath County will have to visit another county for their marijuana needs, because they won't be doing business in those two counties. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Larry. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know, a couple elections ago, a friend and neighbor of mine was running as state representative, and I'm not a habitual voter, so I wrote a check for his campaign and
right.
registered as a Democrat,
because right.
he campaigned and he carried registration forms. So at any rate, then this year I received my voter's pamphlet. I'm in North Marion County.
Okay.
And it was for independent. So I thought you received a call from someone in Clackamas. And
right.
Multnomah had that issue.
And, right.
And this is North Marion County, so that's why I'm calling. I don't have anything to discuss other than I think that's really interesting.
And so how did you find out that your registration had changed?
Well, because they sent me voter, independent voter campaign, campaign pamphlet. And it showed that I was registered as independent.
Huh. You haven't moved, you haven't done any changes?
Oh, no, still in the same place. And
wow.
Still run into my friend who was beaten a state representative. That's like District 18. There's only like 60,000 people in the...
Right.
In that district. So I thought he had a good chance, but he got beaten.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I told the other two callers who called is that I would file a complaint. I would register a complaint with the North Marion County Elections Office.
Right.
And make sure that they corrected my registration on their files. I would file a formal complaint, because the only way to find out how that change happened is for an investigation to take place.
Yeah, I understand, and that there's a possibility I might do that, but since I'm not as vigorous in my political interests as most of your callers, and all your callers. That's all I have to say. I just thought that was interesting. There's three counties that somebody got registered as independent where they previously been registered Democrat, I think. Wasn't that what they said?
Yes, that is the same story for all three people from all three locations. And
yeah,
so
three different counties, so I thought that was really interesting.
I find that interesting too, and that's why I think it's important for each of you to file in your own prospective counties, because from Democrat to independent, somebody has to do something. It doesn't just change on its own.
Yeah, it's just curious. There's three different counties. I don't quite see how. I mean, I don't know how that works and what kind of a machine, what sort of tabulation they use and registration.
Well, I can tell you that all the counties have their own elections office, right? So we have 36 counties, all 36. They have some rules that are, across the board, right. but each one is operated independently. And yeah. So it's they're not connected in that way. And
right,
so,
okay.
Which is why it seems bizarre that there would be three different counties.
Yeah, with that's bizarre is a pretty strong word, but still that just seems really, bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? Well, thank you. I appreciate you letting me know.
Sure.
And definitely.
That's why I called, because it's not, I just thought, gosh, that's, wow. I'll just give you a call, let you know. I don't really have anything else to say other than that.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Sure. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye. Have a great day. Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And so I think like most day afters, people are in reflective mode. Some people are a bit angry their candidates didn't win, or they didn't think their candidates were given the opportunity to run a successful campaign. But I can tell you, as someone who's run for office in the past, it takes a lot to run a campaign. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of volunteer time. It takes a lot of organizational capacity in order to run a winning campaign. And a lot of people who run for office don't necessarily win their first time out. People call to complain about our stuck system. But what's stuck about our system is that normally he who raises the most money wins. And so, as you can see across the board in races and the city of Portland and Multnomah County and in legislative races, across the board, pretty much, if you raise the most money, you win. People call and complain about they don't like this system. Well, change it, right? If you don't like it, I know there's an effort at the city of Portland to reinstitute a public finance system for candidates who are running for the city council. That might be worth looking at. I know the effort around creating districts so that candidates aren't required to run citywide to serve on the Portland City Council is certainly worth looking at. I also know that there's a desire to create a more diverse candidate pool. So every election cycle, we're not choosing between one rich white guy and another rich white guy. The goal is to have women and people of color and people with disabilities and people with different experiences running and serving in public office. And so, we can complain the day after, but at the end of the day, it's up to us to fix this system. If you don't like the system we have, change it. Work with Amanda Fritz's office to get the public finance system back in place at the city of Portland. Work with Common Cause Oregon to get a public finance system passed by the next legislative body so that we can start electing candidates based on them using public financing. And so we won't have callers calling us saying, well, so-and-so, his campaign party was full of rich people because those were the only people who were able to contribute to his campaign. Instead, we would have election parties that looked a lot more like the community that we live in. And so, is our election system perfect? Not by a long shot. Is it a system that needs improvement? Absolutely. Do you have is can you just take your ball and go home and not play? No, you can't. It is too critical. The decisions that elected officials make impact our day-to-day life. And so it is up to us to actually make our elected officials do the job that they've been elected to do. Just like we've just elected Ted Wheeler as the new mayor for the city of Portland, and we know he doesn't take office until January 1st, right now is the time to be having conversations with Ted Wheeler about what you want to see from him in the office of mayor. And it is my hope that the current mayor doesn't give away the shop while he's negotiating the police union contract, which he shouldn't be negotiating because the next police chief police commissioner should be negotiating a contract for the police bureau. The police bureau's contract expires on June 30th of 2016. And so, 2017. And so, why the mayor is now in heated negotiations behind closed doors, because that's the other thing. The union contract happens in public. It should happen in a public forum where the public gets to sit in. We've done that for the last three contract talks. And so that this mayor is having closed door discussions with the police union, trying to negotiate a contract that doesn't expire until 6 months into the new police commissioner's term in office, it doesn't seem appropriate that the mayor, the outgoing mayor, would be negotiating that contract. And so I hope that he's not giving away the store before the new mayor gets in and is able to do an assessment about really what are the needs of Portland Police Bureau. Because it's hard to trust anything, any information that you get out of Portland Police Bureau about their needs for staff, because you still see 10 police officers rolling out to stop one person they think might be involved in gang activity. And so if that's a model of how you deploy police resources, I think that model needs to be reassessed. You don't need 10 police officers to make one stop. And so if that's how we're doing this in all these specialty units, let's do away with the specialty units, put those officers back on the street, and then do an assessment about what our need is for additional police officers. But I hope we're not just talking about bodies, that we're talking about a mindset, that we're talking about people who come in as public servants rather than coming in as occupying forces in various communities. We have a lot of work to do to fix many problems at the city of Portland. Our top critical issues right now are housing, police accountability, and quite frankly, making sure that we are providing services for the neediest people in our community. The mayor is not going to be able to do it by himself. The city council doesn't do it by itself, but we need a mayor that can count to three and will work cooperatively with other city commissioners to get to the end goal that the community wants. And I think we get that in Ted Wheeler. Do I wish that we had somebody other than another rich white guy? Yeah, but guess what? Those were the people that ran. There were 18 candidates, I believe, for mayor. The people have spoken. And so it is my job and my role is to provide as much support as I can for the new mayor as he comes in. But as always, to be as critical as necessary if they are not moving in a direction that is appropriate and just and works for the entire community, not just a segment of the community that's downtown and part of the Portland Business Alliance. And so it's really important that we make sure that we hold his feet to the fire. He is going to be our mayor, and we are the people who elected him. So we get to hold him responsible for that activity. And so I am excited that we have one election down. We've got another one to go this year. And I'm a little alarmed at three different stories from three different parts of the state that talk about voter registration designation being changed from Democrat to independent. I hope that all three of those people will check with their local election office, because quite frankly, I've always assumed that Oregon had the most secure election system in the country, because, you know, we get to hold our ballot for a couple of weeks before we turn it in. But also, this is the first election season that I've heard of tampering with a ballot drop box anywhere in Oregon. And so this is just a preview of what will be in store for us as we move into November. For me, I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to help more people get registered so that they can participate in the process. Am I going to like who the top choices are on the ballot? Probably not. But I'm going to hold my nose and I'm going to vote, because as a child of the civil rights movement, I cannot afford not to vote. Too many people who look like me lost their lives for the privilege. And so I will vote no matter what. And I thank you very much for joining me today. I thank you for being here for this special edition of a political perspective. We are moving into a general election season. I thank you kindly, and I will see you next week. Won't be here tomorrow, but I'll see you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a great, great day.
It's 9:59, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Good morning. Stay tuned at 11 for The Food Show. Host Chris Siegel speaks with Anna Thomas, author of the Vegetarian Epicure Cookbooks, and about her new book, Vegan, Vegetarian, Omnivore. Chris also interviews Lynn Curry, Eastern Oregon resident and author of the book, Pure Beef. And all that's happening on KBOO coming up at 10 o'clock. That's just in a few seconds. After a couple of announcements, we'll hear Flashpoints. Air Cascadia is off today. Flashpoints today features an encore broadcast with investigative economist James Henry looking at how various dictators, drug traffickers, and corporate leaders stole $12 trillion from the world's poorest countries and held it offshore. So just a couple of announcements, and we'll get right to Flashpoints.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, As Time Goes By in Shanghai, showing Thursday, May 19th at 7 p.m. As Time Goes By in Shanghai tells the story of Shanghai's Peace Old Jazz Band, performing together since 1980. Aged between 65 and 87 years, many of them have been playing jazz since the 1940s and have seen the world.